Tyranny of the Majority, from Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville. I hold it to be an impious and detestable maxim that, politically speaking, the people have a right to do anything. And yet I have asserted that all authority originates in the will of the majority. Am I then in contradiction with myself? A general law which bears the name of justice has been made and sanctioned not only by a majority of this or that people, but by a majority of mankind. The rights of every people are therefore confined within the limits of what is just. A nation may be considered as a jury which is empowered to represent society at large, and to apply justice, which is its law. Ought such a jury, which represents society, to have more power than the society itself, whose laws it executes? When I refuse to obey an unjust law, I do not contest the right of the majority to command, but I simply appeal from the sovereignty of the people to the sovereignty of mankind. Some have not feared to assert that a people can never outstep the boundaries of justice and reason in those affairs which are peculiarly its own, and that consequently, full power may be given to the majority by which they are represented. But this is the language of a slave. A majority, taken collectively, is only an individual whose opinions, and frequently whose interests, are opposed to those of another individual, who is styled a minority. If it be admitted that a man possessing absolute power may misuse that power by wronging his adversaries, why should not a majority be liable to the same reproach? Men do not change their characters by uniting with each other, nor does their patience in the presence of obstacles increase with their strength. For my own part, I cannot believe it. The power to do everything which I should refuse to one of my equals, I will never grant to any number of them. I do not think, for the sake of preserving liberty, it is possible to combine several principles in the same government so as really to oppose them to one another. The form of government which is usually termed mixed has always appeared to me a mere chimera. Accurately speaking, there is no such thing as a mixed government, in the sense usually given to that word, because in all communities some one principle of action may be discovered which preponderates over the others. England, in the last century, which has been especially cited as an example of this sort of government, was essentially an aristocratic state, although it comprised some great elements of democracy. For the laws and customs of the country were such that the aristocracy could not but preponderate in the long run, and direct public affairs according to its own will. The error arose from seeing the interests of the nobles perpetually contending with those of the people, without considering the issue of the contest, which was really the important point. When a community actually has a mixed government, that is to say, when it is equally divided between adverse principles, it must either experience a revolution or fall into anarchy. I am therefore of opinion that social power superior to all others must always be placed somewhere. But I think that liberty is endangered when this power finds no obstacle which can retard its course and give it time to moderate its own vehemence. Unlimited power is in itself a bad and dangerous thing. Human beings are not competent to exercise it with discretion. God alone can be omnipotent, because his wisdom and his justice are always equal to his power. There is no power on earth so worthy of honor in itself, or clothed with rights so sacred, that I would admit its uncontrolled and all-predominant authority. When I see that the right and the means of absolute command are conferred on any power whatever, be it called a people, or a king, an aristocracy, or a democracy, a monarchy, or a republic, I say there is the germ of tyranny, and I seek to live elsewhere, under other laws. In my opinion, the main evil of the present democratic institutions of the United States does not arise, as is often asserted in Europe, from their weakness, but from their irresistible strength. I am not so much alarmed at the excessive liberty which reigns in that country as at the inadequate securities which one finds there against tyranny. When an individual or a party is wronged in the United States, to whom can he apply for redress? If to public opinion constitutes the majority. If to the legislature, it represents the majority and implicitly obeys it. If to the executive power, it is appointed by the majority and serves as a passive tool in its hands. The public force consists of the majority under arms. The jury is the majority invested with the right of hearing judicial cases, and in certain states, even the judges are elected by the majority. However iniquitous or absurd the measure of which you complain, you must submit to it as well as you can. If, on the other, a legislative power could be so constituted as to represent the majority without necessarily being the slave of its passions, an executive so as to retain a proper share of authority, and a judiciary so as to remain independent of the other two powers, a government would be formed which would still be democratic without incurring hardly any risk of tyranny. I do not say that there is a frequent use of tyranny in America at the present day, but I maintain that there is no sure barrier against it, and that the causes which mitigate the government there are to be found in the circumstances and the manners of the country more than in its laws.